All right, well, now we're going to look at finding Bible interests. Let me just... let me share with you about this lady. She was... Yeah, I did share a little bit about her. But this lady, when she came to the Bible seminars that we had, she was on fire for the message. And she said, "I have a Bible hunger," is what she termed it. And she just wanted to learn as much as she could. And then she also shared it to others, and she brought her friends in, and so on. And of course, we want to find out, how do we find these people? Where can we find Bible interests that just long for the Word? And that's what we look at today, in this presentation. The Word is the power, is the agent that changes people's lives through the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." So how are we born again according to this word, or this verse? By the Word. By the Word of God. So our duty is to get people in contact with the Word. And that will actually spring up if we pray, and if the Holy Spirit is touching them and they are not resisting it, it will spring up into spiritual life. Bible instruction is essential in revival. In Testimonies for the Church, volume 9, page 126, we read that hundreds, Ellen White was shown that hundreds and thousands were seen visiting families and opening before them the Word of God. Hearts were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and a spirit of genuine conversion was manifest. Hundreds and thousands, these are not hundreds and thousands of pastors going around, right? This is hundreds and thousands of church members going around visiting people and studying the Bible with them. So getting people into the Word, that's what we want to accomplish. And I'd like to add this also. What we win a person with is what we win a person to. Have you heard that? What we win a person with is what you win a person to. If you win a person with the Word of God, they will stay in the Word of God. If you win people just with, if it is entertainment, or if it is people just come because they like the friendship and they like the atmosphere. Yeah, these things are important to create a good atmosphere. But if they don't get into the Word, if they don't get into the Bible, then they won't stay in the Bible. They won't stay in the Word. So it's really important to get a person to study the Bible. And as we share our testimony, as I said last presentation, we can have opportunity to invite people to study the Bible. Now, what if I can't give a Bible study? Well, first thing, you can learn to give a Bible study, because it is very simple, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. Second, you can bring someone who can.
You mean Sunday, not tomorrow?
Sorry, oh yeah, Sunday, that's correct. Sunday. Next time. Sunday, we'll talk about that. You can bring someone who can. Number three, read material together. Like, you have these Bible study, Amazing Facts Bible study tracts. You just take it and you just read it together. You just sit down and say, let's read this together. That's all you have to do. And anyone who can read can give a Bible study by using this material. You can use a DVD or an audio file. You can say, well, come and we'll watch a movie together, or we'll watch a presentation about the Bible together. And Mark Finley tells this story of this person that won 1,000 souls to Jesus. And Pastor Finley was visiting this person, and he was hearing the elder speak of this member that had won 1,000 souls to Jesus. And the elder and Finley talked to this person, and he said, "Wow, you must be preaching a lot of sermons because you won 1,000 souls to Jesus." And the member said that I never preached a single sermon in my whole life, he said. And Mark Finley was a little bit confused by that answer, and so he was asking, "Oh, so I guess you must be giving a lot of Bible studies then." And the person was saying that I never given a Bible study in my whole life. And now Mark Finley was very confused. Now this person had won 1,000 souls to Jesus, and he had never given a Bible study, never preached a sermon in his life. And he's saying, "Well, how do you do it then?" "I just do this," he said. And now Mark Finley was completely shocked. "What? Just this?" Now, how many of you want to win 1,000 souls to Jesus? Okay, can you do this? That's it. What is this? And that was what Mark Finley was saying. "Do this is what you do." Well, this person was telling him that if you want to win souls to Jesus, you need to smile. Okay, so you smile, that's the first step, and then you do this. And it's like, what is that? No? I just push a DVD button. And I put your sermons in, Mark Finley, and then I push it in, and I just smile, sit there and smile, and I won 1,000 souls to Jesus. Amen? So there's no excuse for us not to lead people to the Bible. We all can do it, even if we are not good teachers, or even if we're not eloquent preachers. Anyone can lead people to a Bible study. At the minimum, you can share a book or a tract. But as Bible workers, I hope that many of you will decide to work as Bible workers. This is a very urgent need, especially in Europe. We have very few Bible workers, at least in the parts where I come from. And we need Bible workers. And the description of a Bible worker, the job description of a Bible worker is as follows. In the priority order, their first priority is to hold Bible studies with interested people. And that's their job description, to hold Bible studies. The second is to find Bible study interests. And so that includes, we'll look at that, how can you find Bible study interests? But that's the second priority. So if you find lots of Bible studies and you have you studied with 10 or 12 different people, and they're all very interested in what you're studying about, you might not have time to go looking for new ones until you're done with those that you already have. So your priority number one is to hold the Bible studies with the people that you have, and if you don't have people to study the Bible with, then you search for them in different ways. Number three is to train church members to give Bible studies. And that you can do after you've learned how to give it and you've done it also. One thing that I always do is on my Bible studies, I always bring a church member along. I always bring a church member along that can take notes and that can be my prayer partner. And hopefully they can also learn. Sometimes I give it to them and I say that now this person will actually give the Bible study. So then they can learn how to give Bible studies. Number four, to help out in the church's other outreach activities. So this is the priority order. that you have. The job description of a Bible worker is not to, you know, do the janitor's job or to, sometimes if you're a hired Bible worker in a church, many of the members, they will be like, oh good, you're paid to be here, then, you know, we need the Sabbath school painted, Sabbath school room painted, and we need somebody that can do the, that they can clean the church every week, and all these kinds of different tasks that somebody else can do. And that is not your job description. That's not what you get paid to do. But you are a Bible worker. You are there to study the Bible, to give Bible studies to people, and to lead them to decision. So, how do you find Bible interests? This is the question I most often get asked when I present these kinds of things. Because many people, they are excited about giving Bible studies, but they wonder how in the world can I find people to study the Bible with? Some people think it's so hard. When I moved to Finland, or actually when I moved to Sweden after I attended Arise, I was on fire to find Bible study interests, and we started to get people to study the Bible with. And after a year's time, we had about 20 people that we studied the Bible with. And before that, people had told me that, you know, these things that you've learned, finding Bible study interests, it only works in America. It doesn't work here in Europe. So you need to have different methods. Well, I said, let me at least try these methods before. And so we tried the methods and they worked, and we had about 20 Bible study contacts each after a year. And the people, they were amazed. They were like, wow, this is working. And the people were baptized also. Now, then I moved to another city in Sweden. And in this other city, they told me that, you know, down where you worked, it doesn't, those methods that you use there, they only work down there. They don't work here. And they work in America and they might work down there, but they don't work here. So I said, but let's at least try these methods before we conclude that. So we tried the methods and it did work, and we got lots of Bible studies. And people were very happy about that. So I moved to Finland, where I work now. And when I came to Finland, people said, guess what? Well, you know, those methods that you've learned, they don't work in America. They work in Sweden, but they don't work here in Finland. And I said, well, let's try them at least before we conclude that. So we tried, and I actually told them that in this church that I went to, I told them that my first priority, I shared this with them. And I said, my first priority is to hold Bible studies with people. So that's what I'm going to do. And one member confessed to me later on that they had thought to themselves, now who in the world is he going to have Bible studies with? We've been here for decades and we've never seen a person that's interested in studying the Bible. So now they're coming here, and who's he going to study the Bible with? And this same problem Jesus had in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 35 and 38. If somebody with a microphone could read that.
Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into the labors.
Mm. Jesus is looking at the fields. Well, he's looking at the fields of the souls. And he's saying, you say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. But Jesus is saying, look, there are many people that are ready. There are many people that are wistfully looking to heaven, that are wanting to wanting Bible studies. But it's just that we don't see them because we don't really go looking for them. In Acts of the Apostles, page 109, Ellen White says that there are many who are reading the scriptures who cannot understand their true import. All over the world, men and women are looking wistfully to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls longing for light, for grace, for the Holy Spirit. Many are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in. Do you believe that? Do you believe it is true here in Frankfurt? Or is it only in other places? Believe me, there are people there, out there, looking for the truth. They're praying about it. I met some people yesterday here. I hear that you have Bible studies with them. They're seeking, they're searching for true light. There are many of these people out there. And what they need is to come in contact with the Word. Testimonies 3, page 64. Page 64. There are men and women everywhere whose hearts are susceptible of being inspired with the truth. Everywhere, it says, there are these people. Okay? So our job as Bible workers is to search out and find these interests. And these are some of the ways that you can find Bible interests. Let's start with the surveys. I looked at this survey also that you have. And this is a way that we can find Bible study interests. There are many examples I can share. People that we started to study the Bible with because of going door to door with surveys. This was actually in Sweden. There, some people don't believe in this method, that it doesn't work, that you can't find people that are interested in the Bible through this method. Well, as it is one of the most effective ways, and one of the least expensive ways to find Bible interests. And this person, he came along with me on a survey, and we went from door to door. And we came to a place where there was an immigrant population. And one of the persons that he was doing the survey with said that he was interested in studying the Bible. And he asked him, so would you like to study the Bible more? And he said, yeah, I would like to study the Bible more. And he was almost a little bit shocked. So he was asking, like, okay, so do you really want to? And he said, yeah, then I can learn some Swedish at the same time. And we said, well, that's great. So just from 2 hours going out, we found lots of leads, and we also found a person to study the Bible with. It wasn't even 2 hours, maybe it was 1.5 hours. And I can share so many, many examples of that. When you go out, you meet people, you sow seeds, and you find people that are interested in studying the Bible. We'll talk about door-to-door work next in the next session. One lady that I met in Norrköping in Sweden, where I worked, then we did these surveys, and I actually came across. I knocked in a place where there was no or. We had had not so much success, but we went out and did it anyway there. And as we knocked on one door, there was a lady that opened the door, and I said that we're doing a survey. And she said, no, I don't live here. So I can't do the survey. And I said, well, this is a survey that's not necessarily bound to this area, so you can do it if you like. And she said, oh, all right, I'll do it. And so she did it. And she said she was interested in studying the Bible. And so I said, so where do you live then? We can come and study with you. She said, all right, come and study with me. And we started to study the Bible. So this is an effective way to find Bible study interests. We'll talk more about how to do the surveys in the next session. Another way, it's not the only way, but it is a very powerful way. Another way is in everyday life, wherever we meet people, on the train, on the bus, wherever, in the work. I was sitting on a train, and usually when I sit on the train, I try to at least talk to the person next by, to be social with them. There was this one lady that I was sitting next to, and we started to talk. I did the shirt with her, and I asked her what she was doing. She was a massage therapist, okay? And then she asked me what I was doing, and I told her about the Bible, because I was a Bible worker at that time. So we started to talk, and we got into the spiritual aspects, and I invited her to a meeting that I was going to have in the church, because I had a flyer there, and I said, well, next time, if you're back in Malmö at this time, then you can come to this meeting. And so, sure enough, she came to the meeting, and I was amazed. I was like, wow, praise the Lord. And after that, she decided she wanted she came to many of these meetings, and she started helping out in the church events. She even gave all the church members free massages because she needed to practice on some people. So she said, "Can I have some church members to give massage to?" So I was there, and other people were there to get a free massage. So this is just an everyday life. Just because I started that conversation, it led to all of these things for her. Another time, I was sitting on a train, and the lady was sitting next to me. This was in Finland last summer, and then the lady next to me, I felt convicted that, oh, I should start a conversation with her somehow. And I was praying, Lord, you see that I don't really feel like it at this moment, but open up a way to do it. And so there was some Finnish announcement on the train that I didn't understand. I don't speak Finnish. So then I said, now I have an opportunity to ask her, what did they say? And then we can start a conversation. So I asked her, what did they say? And she looked at me. And she went, like she didn't understand a word of what I was saying. So she didn't speak English or Swedish. So I said, well, okay, good, I can't. Or good. Well, the thing is, I can't do anything more. Lord, I did my job. That's what I felt at that time. But she got off at the next station. And I was sitting back and I was thinking, yeah, now I can relax. But then I was looking across the aisle, and to my amazement, there was a young guy sitting with a Bible in his hand and reading it. And I was like, what? No. That doesn't happen in Finland. And I was like, leaned over to him because I got really curious. And I said, excuse me, is that the Bible you're reading? And he was saying, yeah, I'm actually trying to understand this. I'm reading Revelation, and it's so complicated, and I don't really understand it at all. And I was like, and he was asking me, so are you interested in the Bible? And I said, well, actually, I work as a Bible teacher. And so he was like, oh, really? So what are your thoughts on Revelation? And I didn't know where to begin. I was trying to contain my excitement, because here's a person asking about Revelation. And I was so excited, and I was like, oh, yeah, well, what do you want to know? I actually had a Revelation seminar just recently. So this person, we started talking and we had a good conversation. I saw that he was reading a Jehovah's Witnesses Bible. And he had been studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And he was having questions about the divinity of Christ. He was grown up in a Lutheran church. And then now he was studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses. So he was asking these things. And I showed him a text from that I had done with some other Jehovah's Witnesses before. It's in Psalms 102. Let me just share this with you briefly. Actually, these Jehovah's Witnesses that I was studying with, I found them when I was knocking on doors also. So instead of them knocking on my door, I knocked on their door. And then we started Bible studies. But anyway, it ended up that I studied with the elders of this church. And we looked in, after a long time of studies, we came to the like I tried to agree as far as I could, but eventually we had to get to the bottom of the divinity of Christ. And we read in Psalms 102, and verse 24, and it says there, I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. So I read this verse to them, and I asked them, who is this speaking about? Who is this talking about? And they read it, and they said, this is talking about Jehovah. And I was saying, are you sure? And they said, yes, it is very clear from the text. It is very, even in their verse, in their version, it says Jehovah in verse 19 and before, or in 22. So they were like, yeah, it is clearly speaking about Jehovah. I said, okay, if they are sure, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 then. And we went to Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 8. Well, we actually read from verse 5 and onwards, where God, the Father, is comparing the Son and the angels. So he talks back and forth, and in verse 8 he says, but of the Son, he says, that is the Father, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter, and your a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Verse 10. And, quote Psalm 102, you, Lord, in the beginning lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. I said, who is Psalm 102 talking about? And it was dead silence. For a long, it felt like forever. Maybe it was 1 or 2 minutes. These people, they just looked at each other. And these are the elders of the kingdom hall that were there. And then they said after a while, maybe we should stop studying together. And you can tell us if you'd like to study more. And I was actually sad by that, because you could see that they knew. They saw it right from the Bible, right from their own Bible. They saw that, yeah, Jesus is actually Jehovah. But they did not want to admit it. And they rather refuse it. And I was sharing this with this person, and he was on the train. And he was so amazed, and he was so excited, and he was writing things down. And I didn't meet him after that. So I don't know what happened. But we have opportunities, we have ways of reaching people in and finding people if we're open and if we're contacting them. Another time I was flying on a plane, and there was this guy on a night plane, and he was sitting next to me. I started talking to him. And after I did everything and I shared my testimony, he also shared his testimony, and he was actually, his grandfather or something was an Adventist. And I was telling him, maybe I can share with you some things from the Bible. And we started studying there on the plane, Daniel chapter 2. And I didn't meet him after that, but we had even a Bible study. So there are people that you can find in everyday life to study the Bible with. What about family and friends? If we don't like to talk to strangers, we can talk to family and friends at least. And this is a rich field to study. And this lady, she was the wife of a member, and she had grown up in a Lutheran church, and she did not want to be an Adventist just because her husband was. You understand? Like, she was very firm on that, but she came to one of these seminars that we had, and she checked that she would actually like to learn more about what the Bible says. So we started to study the Bible, and she found out what the Bible said, but she was still uncertain about whether to follow it or not, because she was afraid that all of her relatives would think that the only reason she did it was because of her husband. But I told her that, well, what you can tell your relatives is that the reason why you want to be baptized, the reason why you want to join the Adventist Church, is not because of your husband, but it's because the Bible speaks about it. It's the truth from the Bible. And she was saying, yeah, you know, that's what I'll tell them. And she made the decision, and she decided to be baptized. And so this is a rich field to study. Another person that came to the church had come regularly, but no one had really asked him if he wanted to be baptized, if he wanted to join the church. And there are many of these people. Some people that have gone, they've gone years to the church, but because we have never really made appeals or asked people, they never make decisions. So, friends and family, that's a very, very good, a very rich field to study with, to find people to study the Bible with. On this man's baptism, I also made another appeal to if there was anyone else that wanted to study the Bible. And another young man, he came forward to study the Bible. And he was living very far away, so I couldn't go and travel and meet him every week. But then we started to study the Bible on internet. So that's another way to find. In our technological society, finding people on the internet, on Facebook, wherever you can, this is a resource that you can use to find people to study the Bible with, if we use it right. And I was actually sending him the Amazing Facts storicals, and then he filled them out and he sent them back to me, and if he had some questions. So we actually did it through email, this Bible study, and he was baptized also, so praise the Lord. And another way to find Bible interests, as I said, visitors in church. It's if a person comes and visits the church, that shows that the Holy Spirit is working in their lives. Because people don't just step into the Adventist church without something happening that is drawing them to there. So if a person comes and they sit there on a divine service, talk to them, be social to them, and give them also an opportunity to say that if you would like to study the Bible more, would you be interested in that? The lady that I showed you in the beginning, she brought a friend to church, and this friend to church, this friend of hers, she came to church, and she was actually a seeker also. So I met with her afterwards, and I said, well, it's really nice, like just talking plainly to her. And I asked her, would she be interested in studying the Bible? And she said, yes, and we started to study the Bible. Another woman in another church where I worked there in Finland, she had come for a long time to church. No one had really asked her about Bible studies, but she came to our training session where we train people to study the Bible, to study the Bible with others. And when she came, she also asked me lots of questions about that, but I hadn't really dared to ask her myself. So just some weeks ago, I actually wrote to her and I asked her, so I'm sorry for not asking you before, but would you actually be interested in studying the Bible and learning more about what it says? And she said, yes, I'd love to. So there are so many people, sometimes we think that, I thought in my mind that, oh, she doesn't want to. But I didn't know that until I asked it. So as Bible workers, we always need to have our spiritual antennas up. We need to always be looking for people that are open for the message of the Word. And God will lead us to these people if we are open to it. Church events is maybe one of the most effective ways to find Bible interests. Like now when you have the cooking class here. I hope that you have some kind of interest sheet that they can fill out after they come. If not, then you should invest in that, because that will be very helpful to you. In the restaurant where we work, every event we have, we always have an interest sheet that people can fill out. And when they fill them out, they can check if they're interested in Bible studies, if they're interested in other events that we have. And then we get them into the contact list. And in this way, there are many people that checks for Bible studies when you do that. And when they come back the next time, they get a new sheet and they have a new opportunity to make that decision. So these contact sheets are very, very important. And this is a way to find Bible study interests. I think that's what I'll share. With the church events. We had a church event now. In all of our church events. But we had an evangelistic campaign. 8 days in a row. Or not in a row, but in 2 weeks. Time, or 3 weeks time, and there was this woman in her middle ages that came to these seminars, and she was so interested in coming, but she thought that I can probably not come because I have such a busy life. But then she looked at her schedule, and to her amazement, she was free only on those evenings that the prophecy seminar was at, and so she was like, wow. But then she thought, but my husband won't allow me. He's not religious. So she said, I'll ask him. So she asked her husband, and the husband was saying that, well, as long as it's not Jehovah's Witnesses, and as long as they don't go like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, whatever, then you can go. And she said, okay, I'll go. So she felt God was impressing her. And she came to the seminar, she was amazed by this. She had been praying to God to show her which church to go to. And now she found the truth, and she wanted to start to study the Bible, and now she's actually made a decision for baptism. Praise the Lord. So there, in all these church events, the reason why we do them is not only to, you know, show that we care for them. Of course, that is what we do. But we show that we care for them not just physically, but also spiritually. We want to bring them the Word of Life. We want to bring them what we have experienced of Jesus. And so it is the natural step that we also invite people to evangelism events. And that's what the Evangelism Spiral is about, to try to lead people to a decision for Christ. Yeah, I will not share more stories, but this is the conclusion of the matter. To all who are working with Christ, I would say, this is from Gospel Workers, page 193. To all who are working with Christ, I would say, wherever you can gain access to the people by the fireside, improve your opportunity. Take your Bible and open before them its great truths. This is my challenge to us. That we will be open to find, wherever we can find opportunity, to ask people if they're interested in studying the Bible. This is what we're called to do. This is what we do as Bible workers. And then we study the Bible with them. Is it your desire to have your spiritual interests up, or your spiritual antennas up? Amen. Do you have any questions about this? Does it sound good? All right, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you have shown us today. And Lord, we want to pray that you will help us to find people that are interested in studying the Bible. We pray that you will open doors for us, that you will help us to be not closed to and by our own ideas, but that we will actually be able to see when a person is actually interested and searching for you. So we pray these things, and believing that you hear us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.